CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, we're glad you've joined us. We take this time, set it aside every weekday afternoon to do live radio to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible for you. And so we just want to encourage you to give us a call. We want to let you know that number again, 8888-ASK-CSN. You can call that, and we'll be glad to take your question. We have several lines open, and so if you call right now, you're sure to get on. Joining me today, we have special guest with us, Daryl Skinner, Chosen Generation Morning Times here on CSN from Honolulu, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, Calvary Chapel. Hi, and welcome, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you on To Every Man an Answer. Looking forward to the great calls that come in and the questions that people have. They want to grow in their faith. They want to have answers to so many times that people are skeptics. They ask them questions. And so it's always a thrill to be on and to hear the people respond and want to grow and to be blessed. We know, Mike, we're living in the last days, and there's so many things going on in our world, and they're all pointing to the rapture of the church and the great tribulation period, the Antichrist who's coming. And these are exciting days to be a believer, exciting days to preach the gospel, exciting days to share our faith. We have so much evidence of the truth, and it's just a glorious time. Just want to encourage everyone out there, just keep inviting your family and friends and enemies, whoever it might be, co-workers, bring them to church. Bring them to church. Let them hear the word of God. Let God get them saved and get them going for his kingdom, okay? Mike, good to be with you.
You know, it's so good to belong to the family of God. I love that. You know, so many people, maybe you didn't have a very good home. Maybe you don't have very many relatives or even those that are alive anymore. Hey, well, you got a big family of believers around you. And you know, you got a daddy in heaven that's crazy about you. And I just want to encourage you to be right with God today. You know, if you haven't asked Christ in your life, hey, just say, Lord, I just ask in my life and adopt me. And I need a daddy. And you be my daddy. And Paul the Apostle says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy. That's what it's all about. That relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden, now been restored for each one of us through Jesus Christ, because he took away our sins. You know, I've tried getting rid of my own sins. You try to get stoned, try to get loaded, try to do all those things to make those things go away. Nothing gets rid of the sin. Only Jesus takes our sin away. That's why he died on the cross for us, friends. And I didn't have to join a church. I didn't have to sign a card. All I had to do was accept a free gift of eternal life, as the Bible says, and we get to live forever with him. That's good news and a reason to live here on this earth. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN. And if you got a Bible question or other questions concerning all the crazy stuff going on in this world, we'll do our very best to tell you what the Bible says about that. We have Nico on the line in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, hello.
How may we help?
Hi, I don't know, I'm not quite sure how to form my question. Basically, you know, I've always been under the understanding that we are currently, you know, waiting for the rapture, and then there'd be the 7 years, and then Jesus comes back, and then there'd be the millennial reign. And I've kind of doing some research, and I just found some interesting things about the year 70 AD, which I'm sure y'all have heard a lot about, and a lot of things that kind of add up and make a lot of sense to me. When I'm reading the Bible, it kind of seems like a literal translation. It makes a lot of sense. And I just wanted to see if y'all had any, you know, thought on that, or maybe some major points as to why, you know, 70 AD wouldn't be, you know, what a lot of the prophecies were talking about.
Well, first of all, we have the book of Revelation that tells us what this is about. There are many people that try to equate 70 AD to the book of Revelation, which is absolutely impossible. Here's why. In the book of Revelation, it says every living thing in the sea died. That did not happen in 70 AD. When Jesus said, when the abomination which makes desolate happens in the third temple, the one that John measures in Revelation chapter 11, which is not yet built, the Bible says that Jesus said, don't even go back into your house to get your coat. That's how quick the retaliation is going to come when the Jewish people reject the Antichrist, telling everybody that he's God. Now, the reason why I believe, friends, that's so important is because in when the Roman general Titus came in 70 AD to squash the rebellion of the Jewish people, level the city of Jerusalem, burn it with fire, it took literally months. It wasn't where you couldn't go back into your house to get your coat. But you know, today with the advent of surface-to-air missiles, hey, listen, you barely have any time to do anything. Jesus said, don't even go back in your house to get your coat. That's how quick the retaliation is going to be. And this abomination which makes desolate is where the Antichrist puts a picture of himself, his name, an image of himself there in the temple and declares to the world he's God and must be worshipped. He scraps the very religious system that he made back in Revelation chapter 6 and this one world order thing that he come up with. The Bible says all the trees are burned up on the earth. There's so many things that did not happen in 70 AD. It cannot be the same thing. But the thing is that when we look at what Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. This is found in Luke chapter 21. And the reason why that's important is because it was only up till 1967, Jerusalem was always under the control of the Gentiles. When Jesus made that statement, Luke 21, it was under Roman control. It's been under Roman control and under the Medo-Persian Empire, under the Babylonian Empire for 2,800 years up till 1967. In the Six-Day War, they finally got their city back against impossible odds. And Jesus goes on and says that the generation that sees this will be the last generation. All the things will have been fulfilled. Friends, we're living in exciting times. No, the millennial reign did not start in 70 AD. This is called replacement theology. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at that, the preterist view, which a lot of times they try to say that all the things in the book of Revelation happened in 70 AD, it's fallacious, to be honest with you, folks. It's just fallacious. Jesus said that when the tribulation comes, he says this in Matthew 24, he says, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. When we study the book of Revelation and the catastrophic, horrific events that take place from Revelation 6 all the way to 19, from the bowl judgment, the trumpet judgment, the seal judgment, and so forth, all those horrific events that are going to take place, you don't want to be on planet Earth whatsoever. Jesus says it's going to be the worst ever. And unless those days were shortened, nobody would survive. God keeps it at 7 years, of course. And he does it for the elect's sake, he says, which is the Jewish people, that he's going to be really, there's going to be a great outpouring of God's Spirit upon the Jews during the tribulation period. 144,000 Jews will be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the 7 years of tribulation from Revelation 6 all the way to 19. It's after the rapture of the church. Then starts the tribulation period, the unveiling of the lawless one or the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that. You get to chapter 19, you got the second coming of Jesus. Then Revelation chapter 20, you got six times it's spoken of that you have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. That'll be a time of where the sheep and the goats have been separated. The sheep are those who did not take the mark of the beast. They're allowed to come into this earthly reign of Christ from the throne of David, which is in Jerusalem. You and I as believers have gone up in the rapture. We're with the Lord for the 7 years tribulation. We return with him at Revelation 19 on these horses and so forth. And then we're going to reign and rule as a kingdom of spiritual priests. We're going to be ministering to those that are the sheep that come through the tribulation period without, they didn't take the mark of the beast. They're allowed to go into 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're going to be ministering to them and to their children, to their children, to their children, to their children. It's going to be a glorious time on planet Earth. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden across the world. And it's going to be marvelous. People are going to, the diseases are going to be done away with and death and so forth. People are going to be living to ripe old ages and so on. It's going to be incredible during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And yet we're going to be ministering. We'll have the mind of Christ, folks, so don't worry. You're going to have the mind of Christ. You have a glorified body, and where it's made for the heavens and the earth, and it's going to be an exciting time. But none of this has taken place in 70 AD. That's the most ridiculous thought I don't even know how they can come up with those ideas. The Book of Revelation is future. It's right now we're in the age of the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea and the Church of Thyatira is with us also. You see all these things happening. We want to be that Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is what? It's a church that keeps his word from Genesis to Revelation. We will not deny his name. And Jesus says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world to all those that dwell on the earth. And that hour of trial is speaking of the great tribulation, the 7 years tribulation. He's going to rapture us up before that tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the rapture. Jesus talks about it in John 14, 1 to 3. He's going to receive us unto himself and so forth. So these are exciting times to be a believer, exciting times. We're in the final lap of this race of the church, and we've got to be preaching and sharing the gospel. Mike, I give it back to you.
Amen. And, you know, the other thing that we have to remember, too, there was no mark of the beast in 70 A.D.
Yes.
Mark on your hand or on your forehead. You didn't have to get out of Jerusalem immediately. It took it was a number of weeks or actually months for the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And so, no, we are the Book of Revelation has not yet happened. I believe that it was written in chronological order. Revelations 2 and 3 is the age of the church. You find the church in heaven after the trumpet blast, and then you find the one world order being set up. Now, right now in the world, you can see, I mean, whether you're listening to John Lennon's song, no heaven above us, no hell above us only sky, the fifth dimension years ago, the song Dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Okay, you know the song. Well, hey, listen, that's what they're all, and the world will be as one, as John Lennon says. Well, who's going to rule over this? Everybody in the world is looking for a Messiah. Well, the Bible says this guy's going to come on the world as a Messiah, but the Bible also says he's a false Messiah. And that's the thing that we have to understand. And again, you can take God clear out of our scenario that we're talking about today. Just go to the internet, type in doomsday clock. That's not based upon Christianity or anything. The nuclear doomsday clock is like 2 seconds before midnight. So even the world knows there's something wrong. The Bible tells us what it is. And that's why we can trust him. And again, only the Bible knows the future. Only God knows the future. All the other religious books in the world will all always have ideas and thoughts and warm fuzzies and things like that. But only the Bible has absolute prophecy in it. And not generalized prophecy like Nostradamus or Edward Casey or, you know, when three clouds appear above the mountain. Well, you see, those three clouds mean three eons of time and they make up all this stuff. No, the Bible's exact. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. It was trodden down until 1967. They got the other half the city of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. They got the first half in 1948, the second half in 1967. And Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. Now, why does God choose the nation of Israel as his time clock? Friends, I don't exactly know. I know through the Jews, we understand how we all got here, Adam and Eve, where we are today in the world and where we're all going. I think this is maybe why the devil attacks him so much and tries to destroy him. But the principal objective of the replacement theology or everything happened in Revelation in 70 AD is to discount the Jews and that it is already happened and God has no more to do with Israel than he does with Mexico. All that's not true. That's God's time clock. And the reason I think he picked the Jews is this, is so that we could actually tie it to something absolute rather than arbitrary. There's a lot of people that say different things, and well, that's a matter of opinion if that happens. Well, you got the Jewish nation living in Israel, just as the Bible says. You have Jerusalem, their capital, just exactly what the Bible says. And Jesus then says about this generation that sees us, this is the last one. Friends, I don't know if you've noticed, but you have underdeveloped nations like North Korea. Again, I've shared this before. 30th poorest nation on earth with nuclear warheads. And now they're acquiring all kinds of armament from Russia. So you not only have Iran as one of the principal sources of terrorism in the world, but you have Russia being the supplier of these armaments. Isn't it weird that the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the Old Testament that in the last days, Russia, accompanied with the Arab neighbors, will come down against Israel to destroy it? Amazing prophecies. These aren't, well, warm, squishy fuzzies kind of thing. No, it's exact. I mean, the Bible talks about Jerusalem in particular coming under Jewish control. Didn't happen. You know, it's interesting to read some of the old commentaries that were written back in like 1700, like Matthew Henry's commentary. And what's so funny is it says, it appears that the nation of Israel will once again be a nation. But I don't see how that could ever be. God bless old Matthew Henry. He couldn't see that in the future. Friends, we're living in the reality of that today. You know, I again, God has to intervene in our world because I see personally that man's potential of destroying himself is absolutely a reality. And when you have Putin threatening global nuclear war almost daily, when you look at the armaments of the world, when you stop to think that every article of war, every weapon of war that man has ever made, he has used. Friends, I'll tell you something. Today is the appointed day of salvation. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Just say, Father, forgive me. I want to go when you come and I want to be ready and I want you to use my life. And the Bible says he'll do that. Nico, I hope that helps.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
God bless you. And stay on line. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. If I can find anything else to send you, I'll do that as well. So you stay on line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Alex, Desert Hot Springs, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Just a quick question about the Ethiopian Bible.
Yes.
My church, some of the church people I go with, after Mel Gibson came out with that and making a movie and doing this, you know, pretty much promoting the Ethiopian Bible, I've had some really wonderful brothers and sisters now kind of pushing it. And they gave me one. And I looked through the index first and saw some, you know, books I've never seen before, like the Book of Susanna. Yeah. And I'm just like, well, what is this really? And so I just wanted your guys' take on it.
It was rejected by the church fathers as heresy. And that's why they're not in our Bible today. Junk then, junk now. Take the Book of Enoch, for instance. It was written about 800 B.C., it was not written by Enoch at all. Now, it does contain a verse that we find in the book of Jude, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." That verse is in that book, but that in no way gives this book of Enoch credibility. And when you really look at it and how bizarre it really is, as it's written in three parts, this is why the early church fathers rejected it, because it contradicts other parts of Scripture. Jesus never quoted from the book of Enoch whatsoever. And in Enoch, where it says Enoch saith, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, it does not say the book of Enoch. It was a common saying that they understood. The book of Enoch, again, written about 800 BC. And again, it is very bizarre. You look at some of these other books, some of the apocryphal books out of the Catholic Church that are in this Ethiopian Bible. Bizarro books. How to Cast Out a Demon is absolutely insane. You look at some of these books, Tobit and some of these other ones, they're crazy. Now, what about the Book of Maccabees? Well, it's an interesting historical book. I think there's some accuracy there, but in no way is it Scripture. Just because a book is reporting on an event doesn't mean that it's God's inspired word. And this is why Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha, didn't quote from the Book of Enoch, didn't quote from any of this stuff. And I think this is really important because, again, this has been added in your thoughts, Daryl.
Yeah, the Protestant Bible contains 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. This Ethiopian Bible, let's see, it has 81 books in the Old Testament and 46, let's see, four, no, excuse me, 81 books total, 46 books in the Old Testament, 35 books in the New Testament. So much of these books are just, they're mythological or they're lacking historical accuracy. Or as Mike said also, which is very important to understand, Jesus and the apostles never quoted from those books. They quoted from every book of the Bible except for the book of Esther, which is a historical book that's included because of its inspiration of God's dealing with Esther and everyone that was involved in that particular book. But outside of that, nobody has there's no quotations from those apocryphal books or the added books of the Enoch or anything like that. This comes up quite often, this book of Enoch, and there's no evidence thereof that it's not written by Enoch, as Mike just shared. It's a much later year when this book came about. They just used his name as a fraud, and so it's a fraudulent book. It's got a lot of things in there that are not biblical that we find according to the scriptures. So we all have to be careful. We have the 66 books of the Bible. They're canonized. They're inspired by God. They are authentic. And I would just say, stay in the 66, and you're good to go. And God was going to bless you mightily and abundantly. They've been the proof text for years upon years upon years in the Christian church, and God is doing a great work through those books. But once we start dabbling in an outside arena, there's no end to this this potpourri type of Christianity that people are creating. They also have all these crazy ideas, and no, they're just not authentic books, are not inspired, and they don't have historical accuracy. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Enoch lived before the flood, so yes. you've got almost 2,000 years between the life of Enoch and this book that was written. So it is really a fraudulent book. A lot of people adhere to it, but it is not scripture. And if you want to start adding the book of Enoch, then add in Mad Magazine and National Geographic and whatever else you want to do, because it was around, the early church fathers had it, and they declared it to be heresy. So these are the problems that we have. And see, again, some people think, well, if a book is old, that makes it authentic. No, junk then, junk now. Alex, I hope that helps.
Wonderful. And I tell my brothers and sisters, and these are scholarly university people that have mm-hmm. dove into this. And I said, you know, I've got 66 books that blow my mind every day. I've been through Proverbs 5 times, and new things pop out all the time. I don't need to add these 88. I'm doing well with 66.
Yeah. And you know, I Proverbs is such a deep book. There's a verse in Proverbs that for many years I didn't truly really get. It says, and this is what it says. It says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, but answer a fool.
We just heard that today.
But answer.
Just heard that today.
Yeah. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, but answer a fool according to his folly. Well, what yes. in the world does that mean? And I was sharing with somebody one time, and that verse came to mind, and here's what it was. Guy came up to me and said, do you mean to tell me you base your life off of everything the Bible says? And I said, well, by the nature of your question, you base your life on something. What do you base your life on? And that's exactly what that verse means. So in other words, you mean to tell me you base your life off of everything the Bible says? Well, I didn't begin to go in and try to prove the Bible was true. I would be answering a fool according to his folly. But I answered him according to his folly. What do you base your life on? Because you say you base your life on something. And I go, wow, that was pretty smart that Solomon wrote that in there for us. So anyway, Alex, I hope that helps.
Hey, Mike, if I could add one
go
last
ahead.
Tidbit.
Go ahead.
It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, stories. We don't want stories. We want the inspired word of God, which is the 66 books that we have. of the 39 Old Testament books and 27 of the New Testament books. We have the fullness of the Word of God, folks. Don't go outside and try to dive into other books that are not proven by any means. In fact, they're known as fallacious books. So just stay in the Bible itself. Mike?
Amen. And again, when we see these things written, the authenticity of these books are horribly sketchy. And again, Jesus never quoted from them. Nobody else did. And there was a saying, where the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. But that in no way gives the book of Enoch any credibility. In fact, if you look at the book of Enoch, there's some flat out just kooky stuff in there. I mean, just nutty stuff. And you know, they were so accurate when they put the, when, you know, the Council of Nicaea got together and they looked at all the religious books, they looked for any lie, any misquote, anything. And if there was, they would discount that book because they knew that God wouldn't make a mistake. And that's why these books are not included, because they're loaded with mistakes. And again, no one ever quoted from them. So really important to understand that, Alex. Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, guys.
God bless you. And thanks so much for the call. Hey, again, 8888 Ask CSN's the number to call. If you're in the Southern Idaho area this Sunday, love to see you here at the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls. I'm going to be teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. You know, God wants us to step outside of our comfort zone, outside of our little white picket fence, and step out where we're going to need a miracle. Hey, that's where the power of God is. And that's what really encourages me each and every day to go deeper with God. And I want to do that same, share that same thing with you in God's word. How is it that Paul would continue to go beaten with rods, shipwrecked, day and night in the deep, peril in the country, all these things that happened to him? Because he saw the raw power of God and he knew this was the real deal. Hey, we're going to talk about this Sunday. Next Sunday, that's this Sunday. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to find out, Daryl, what you're doing. We'll be right back.
After taking the morning after pill, this mom immediately felt sick and nauseous as she tried to end her pregnancy. While searching for medical care, she found a preborn network clinic where she had hoped to rule out that she was pregnant.
I had an ultrasound done right then and there. After hearing the baby's heartbeat, I instantly thanked God and said, "May your will be done, Lord." I'm 7 months pregnant now. I thank God every day for my little miracle.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, introducing moms to the life growing inside of them and sharing the gospel in action. When a mother meets her baby in ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubles. To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $8 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And you know, Daryl, I know you're doing something this Sunday at church. I know you're going through Revelation. Tell us more.
Yes, we are. We're in the book of Revelation chapter 3. We're dealing with the Church of Philadelphia. I've turned it into a four-part study, and I'm at the part of the rapture of the church. I'm going to do an in-depth study with all the scriptures that deal with the rapture and the imminent return of Christ, speaking that he's going to come at any time. The second coming of Christ has a date to it, but the rapture does not have a date. It's the imminent return. It's a doctrine in the scriptures. And also we're going to go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and every other passage that deals with the rapture. Of course, we're dealing with Revelation 3, where it says that Jesus will keep us from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. And it's a beautiful passage, and it's pre-tribulation. It proves the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, if you will. And it's going to be a great blessing. Looking forward to it. Thanks for asking, Mike.
So if you're in the Honolulu area visiting or you live there, hey, be sure to stop by Daryl's fellowship there and shake his hand and say, hey, I listen to you on the radio. It'll really bless him as it blesses me and everybody else when we get to meet our listening audience. Again, if you're in the Twin Falls area, the church starts at 10 o'clock Sunday morning and 10:30 on the radio. Anywhere that there's the internet, of course, Mountain Time, and we're going to be looking at the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Then Sunday night, we're going to be doing a kind of a to every man an answer in person. And so people can ask questions on Sunday night service. And so if you're in the area, you're welcome to come and do that as well. So back to the phones we go. We go. Mark on the line, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question is kind of twofold. I'd like to hear both answered. So in Romans 12:20, where it says, if your enemy's hungry, feed them, thirsty, give them drink, and by doing this, it will reap burning coals on his head. I'd like to know exactly what that means, heat burning coals on his head. And I'd also like to know what happens if we do that for Christians or potential Christians. Does it do the same?
Well, I think part of your answer is found in the next verse, and I'll read that. It says, so do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So as it talks about heaping coals on their head, and it's speaking about enemy, when you're kind to your enemy, I believe this brings about conviction. Now, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from the devil. Condemnation drives us away from God. Conviction drives us to God. And when your enemy, and you do good to them, as Jesus said, you turn the other cheek, I believe this causes a reaction deep within a person's soul. Now, even as Stephen was being martyred, as they were stoning him to death, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Exactly what Jesus said when they were hammering the spikes through his hand. See, this is what Jesus is saying. Now, does that mean we just let anybody treat us any way we want to? No, it's very clear in the scripture. There is a balance. And I believe this balance is extracted via the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to understand how God wants us to react in every situation. Because again, if we render evil for evil, what reward do we have for that? Even the heathen do that. So when we are kind, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And I believe in that it shows a level of kindness or love that they may have not experienced. And so your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, Jesus shares something with us very important out of the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 5:43-44, he says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. The Lord is teaching us, yes, the goal is what? To win souls into the kingdom. Before you know Jesus Christ, you're a child of the devil, the Bible declares. When you come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you're now a child of God. And so what we are doing when you put those heaps of coal on their head by doing all the good things it says there, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. It'll bring shame to him. It was a custom of the Egyptians and so forth in the Middle East there that as you would have these coals upon your head, it's revealing the shame and the guilt of what you've done wrong. And so it's to burn away that shame, to burn it all away. And so what God is, what Paul is expressing here by the Holy Spirit, they keep reaching out, overcome evil with good. And as you're an example to people, so many times I encourage married couples are having issues. Maybe one's not acting like a believer, the other one's being a believer. Keep being a believer. Keep doing what is so good in Christ that it just, without even saying anything, that person's going to feel guilty of what they're doing is wrong before you, and they're going to come to a place of repentance. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Amen. As we do the good things of God before one another in the workplace, the marketplace, where in the mission field, God blesses because people are going to be convicted of their personal sins, and they have nothing to judge with other than judge themselves. There's a powerful force of what Jesus did for all of us as he went to the cross for our sins and he asked for our forgiveness. He rose from the grave, offers all who believe in him everlasting life, and not only everlasting life, but also life more abundantly. So, Mike, I give it back to you.
I hope that answers it for you, Mark.
Thanks.
Well, God bless you. Did you have another question, or is that all?
So, you mentioned you're talking about the Holy Spirit Sunday.
Yes.
Is that on, can you hear it on the internet?
Oh, you certainly can hear it on the internet, and you can hear it on any of the CSN radio stations. If you go to csnradio.com and hit station listings, find the city close to you there under your state. And, of course, if you're right on the border of another state, it might be coming from across the border. So you want to be sure to look at that. And you can hear it there. Or you can go to csnradio.com and hit live audio streaming, and you can hear it anywhere in the world. And you can join in. We have about 600,000 listeners that listen to us outside the United States on the internet. And so you can join with them as well. But I'm going to be talking about how important in these days. You know, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about. So look forward to that, Mark, and I hope you can join us.
What time, Central?
Central time, it will be an hour later. So just tune in 11:30 your time on csnradio.com or whatever radio station you happen to be listening to on the CSN radio network. So hope that helps.
You.
All right, you stay online, and I'll send you out, Mark, a little book called Time to Grow. Think you'll enjoy that. And, you know, Mark, I want to tell you, if you're still with us, that you're listening to KDKR Fort Worth, Texas. We are not on that station on Sunday, but if you go to csnradio.com, and then hit live audio streaming. You'll be able to hear it 11:30 your time. And so tune in, okay?
Perfect. Thanks.
God bless you. Stay in line. If you like, send you a couple of little books I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to Roger in Minnesota. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I believe this is heresy, but how can anybody come up and how did they come up with something that says that God used Hitler to drive the Jews back into Israel?
I believe that Hitler was demonically motivated to destroy the Jewish people, as Nero was, several other tetrarchs down through the history of man, to do this. Because I believe that the devil in his thinking is that if he can destroy the Jewish nation, since almost all end time prophecy surrounds the nation of Israel, if you can destroy the nation of Israel, you can destroy the promises of God. Now, here's a real interesting point about this. Isaiah chapter 14 says that he was perfect in all of his ways until pride entered his heart. Pride blinds people to reality. Pride blinded Satan to who he was. And I believe because of this, ultimately, he thinks he's going to win in the end. I know people today. I've shared the gospel with them. They're on their deathbed in the hospital with only hours to live. And they tell me they're going to get up and walk out of the hospital this next week, and they're going to even start another family. Pride has blinded them that they are dying, and they're only got a few hours left to live. I believe it's the same way it is with the devil. To think that a created being, that would be like a Ford Pinto going to the Ford Motor Company saying, I'm in control now. Devil's a created being. He's not the half-brother of Jesus or anything like that. Jesus was God. Satan is a created angel and a fallen one at that. And so we have to understand then that because of this, there is an attack on the Jewish people to destroy them. Where did this idea come from that God used Hitler to drive the Jews back to Israel or give them a nation? I absolutely reject that. But I do believe God is bigger than the things that man does. You know, man makes his choices, but God ultimately has the last say. And out of that, to fulfill scripture, in a day, the Bible says, in fact, it says, who's ever heard of such a thing? A nation born in a day. That's exactly what happened to Israel in May of 1948, when they became a nation again, against impossible odds. And so we realize that God did this, not because of Hitler, but I look at this as very important in our own lives. Even out of the ashes that we have done to ourselves, or what others, in the case of Adolf Hitler, did to the Jews, what others have done to us, falsely accusing us, lying, thinking they get away with it. Oh no, friends, there's a judgment coming someday. They may have convinced themselves that they didn't lie, but God knows they lied. And I'll tell you something, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And so the thing is, I believe that God is bigger than the things that wrong that have been done to us, and God can make something really wonderful out of something really bad. And that's what all about being born again is. Look at the way we've wrecked our lives over the year, trying to define life our way. Well, if I buy this, it's going to make me something. If I wash my teeth with this, it's going to make me more beautiful. If I do this, if I do that, I'll be lovable. God says, I love you the way you are. You didn't have to buy anything. You didn't have to sign a pledge card. I just love you the way you are. See, that's what God does. God makes beauty for ashes. And I believe this is what happened after the Second World War. God gave the Jewish people beauty for ashes. Your thoughts?
Great statement, Mike. I agree 100%. All evil and all wickedness comes from the devil himself. He's been referred to as the God of this world. That's a little g. He's known as the Prince of Darkness. If there's wickedness and evil that takes place, shake your fist at the devil. Never shake your fist at God. He's a loving father who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He is good all the time, and he wants to bless his all believers and so forth. Why did this take place? Mike hit the nail on the head. Satan wanted to extinguish the Jewish population off the earth because the Messiah is going to return back to Jerusalem to sit on the throne of David. And Jesus said that there'll be a fulfillment of the parable of the fig tree, which means that Israel will come alive once again. In Matthew chapter 24, he spoke that. Israel will come alive once again and return to the land. He says, then within that generation, I'll be coming. So we recognize that the Lord is coming very soon. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Then 1967, they got Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. 1973, there's another big war they fought. For about a month, they conquered their enemies once again. Right now, they're fighting for their existence once again against Iran and against Hezbollah, against Hamas and so forth. And God is giving them victory once again, and we've joined in. And it's very important for us to always understand this. God said that the nations that bless Abraham or bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Abraham, curse Israel, will be cursed. Where's Hitler and the Nazis today? Gone. Where's Saddam Hussein today and his armies of Iraq? Gone. Now we see the destruction of Iran by our own military and by Israel's military, and Hamas is being destroyed, Hezbollah is being destroyed. All these things are fulfillment of Bible prophecy and what the Word of God has spoken. We need to keep praying for the Jewish people because there's great anti-Semitism that has raised its ugly head once again in Europe as well as across the world and even in our America. We need to be praying for the Jewish people and the peace of Jerusalem because God is dealing with them once again to bring them to salvation. Right now there's about 9.5 million folks that have moved back to Israel. In 1948, when they became a nation, there was about 806,000. Now there's 9.5 million that have come back. And God is doing a great mighty work, which shows us the end times, the sign of the end times is with us, that the Lord is coming for us very quickly. God is in his perfect wisdom and knowledge, and all that he gives us through the scriptures is blessing the nation of Israel as well as those that bless Israel. And we see it within our own nation. So powerful, powerful things are happening around us. And horrific things happen in our world, from the Nazi Germany killing 6 million Jews to Stalin and Pol Pot and Mao killing about 140 million people by their ideologies of communism and so forth. Those who would not abide in communism would be slaughtered. And there were Christians and there were Jews and there people of education and so forth. So we see a lot of evilness in our world constantly, because Satan is the author of death. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning, as Jesus has spoken. We see this world very wicked and evil. And the signs of the times are with us. There's going to be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places and pestilences, so forth. These are the signs of the times. Be like the days of Noah, like the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, which shows us that the Lord is coming very soon for his bride. We're going to be heading home in the rapture of the church, but we see a lot of wickedness around us right now. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Hope that helps.
So I can see this. It turns out to be a blessing. Hitler attacked the Jews, and there was a Holocaust, and it was terrible, but God turned things around. He actually blessed Earth. Because I got a book one time that talked about how Israel is coming up with great bounds of positivity in medicine and technology and things like that, that the world is getting blessed from.
You mean Hitler? Yeah, also.
No.
We're
the Jews.
The Jews, absolutely. And what came out of Nazi is meth. You know, the meth problem we have right now?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was an invention of the Third Reich. To keep their soldiers piped up so they could be super soldiers that didn't have to sleep. A lot of the horrific things that we've seen did come out of the Third Reich. It was very, very bad. And so we have to understand what was going on there. But today, of course, we do find, in fact, many people that eat the omeprazole or whatever it is, keeps you from getting heartburn. So they sell it at Costco and other stores, things like that. When I looked on the label, it's made in Israel. So
there you go.
Those people in Israel help me from getting heartburn when I eat pizza late at night. I appreciate that a lot.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, if I could add one last thing to this. Also, we see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36 and 37, where God
right
said
now,
through
yes.
Ezekiel, yeah, right now that Israel become a nation once again. So again, fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God tells us the future. All we have to do is read the Bible. It'll all come to fruition, and it solidifies our faith. Facts for our faith are wonderful, and we see what's happening in our world. God is not done with the Jewish people. There's this false idea of replacement theology, that the church has replaced the church. That's heresy. The church has not replaced Israel. God is dealing with his people once again. We see it happening right now as they become a great nation, and God is going to really deal with them heavily in that tribulation period with 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 7. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you much. That really opened my eyes. It blessed me. It really did.
Always remember, God is bigger than the things that we've done wrong or others have done to us. And God can make beauty for ashes. I believe that's what happened to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. I believe that's what happens to you and me as well. As I look at my life, I didn't have anything to offer God. God gave me everything. And you see, the big difference is sometimes we think, oh, I've got to come up to a certain standard or a certain holiness for God to accept me. God says, I love you just the way you are. And here's the great news, everybody. God loves us so much. He loves us enough to not leave us that way. He loves us the way we are, but he loves us enough to change us. And that's the good news of the gospel. Not something from the outside in, as psychology and other things, religion even, will try to do. But this is a work of the Holy Spirit inside the believer's life, changing us from the inside out. Roger, stay in line if you like. Send you a little book. And we're going to go to Joe in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. How can we help?
Just had a question about John 14, 28, I believe.
28, uh-huh.
About him saying that the Father is greater than him.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what he means by that? I mean, I know obviously my dad's greater than me, per se, as far as, but I don't know, you know, like how to explain it to somebody, like, well, like a Jehovah's Witness.
Sure. Well, you have to remember that Jesus was God. It tells us that Matthew chapter 1, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Those are the exact words in the King James Bible, which translated means God with us. That's who he is. Now, when he says his Father is greater than him, you have to remember Jesus took on the likings of mortal flesh, took on a human body, subject to the same things that you and me, all of us, are subject to. And so because of that, there's a lesser net. Because, again, the minute that you deal with humankind from the complete holiness of God, when you're dealing with humans, this is where we fail. This is why Jesus had to come, because the blood of bulls and goats were never spiritual enough or good enough to get rid of the sins of man. This is why Jesus had to die for us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Jesus, what the Trinity had set up for us is to understand the process of submission. You have the Father, and you have the Son, who takes on the body of flesh, as Mike said, who's God with us. And the Son was always in submission to the Father. He wanted to glorify the Father, to teach us that we're to bring glory and honor to the Father. Even in the great prayer that he teaches us about, he says, "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name." And he teaches about prayer. He says, "Call no one Father on earth except for your Father in heaven." Jesus also said, "Father, make them one as we are one." So we see the unity of the Father and the Son, but yet that submission. Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If there's any other way for this event to take place, then let this cup pass before me." What is the event? The event was to be crucified and then ultimately to be separated from the Father, which had never happened. And why was that separation taking place? Why did Jesus cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he took the sins of the whole world, every single sin we've ever committed, upon himself in judgment. The earth was dark from 12 noon to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. He took our sins upon himself in judgment. He had already cried out for our forgiveness. And then he says, "Tetelestai," which is, "It is finished," at the 3 p.m., which is the time of the evening sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He dies on the cross at that very moment. And then he gives up. The Bible says he gave up his spirit. But all this was in submission to the Father. And then he teaches of, Jesus also taught us about the Holy Spirit. We'll be in submission to him, which is submission to the Father, which we're in submission to the Holy Spirit, we're in submission to the Son, we're in submission to the Father also. So it's this process of submission that he's laying down for us to understand fully the workings of God in and through our lives for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. Mike, I give it back to you.
Hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, you guys have time for one more?
Yep.
Sure.
John 20:17 says, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mm-hmm. Why does he say it like that?
Okay,
is that thoughts. Mission also, or
absolutely, Jesus is laying it down because we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity and the effulgence of who they are. All three are omnipotent. All three are omniscient. All three are omnipresent. All three are immutable, meaning they never change, which is, thank goodness, they're not going to get mad at us in heaven one glorious day and say, "You're out of here." So, but he's again, showing this submission to the Father and your God, my God. He's obedient to the Father who's God, and we are to be obedient also in that same fashion. Mike, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, so I hope that answers it for you, Joe.
Oh,
yeah,
I get it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know, Jesus came. He said, "I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus had completely surrendered his will to the Father. He says, "I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing." And so we want to be very much aware that Jesus came 100% God, but also 100% man. And so when we see this, and when he tells Mary, don't cling to me, I've not yet ascended to my Father, she put a bear hug on him. You know, you got away from me once, but you're not going to get away from me again. I believe she put a bear hug on him not to live. And that's why he said, don't cling to me. Don't squeeze the stuffings out of me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. And so understanding that Jesus, again, we go to John 8:58. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, claiming to be ego, meaning the same voice in the burning bush in the Old Testament that Moses talked to. Verse 8:59 says, and they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because Jesus Christ claimed to be God, and that's why they picked up the stones. So important. All out of time. Thank you so much, Joe, for calling. And Debbie, the rest, please call. Tomorrow we'll put you on first thing. Thank you, Daryl, for being on. Looking forward to be back with you. And until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you. Good night.
PO Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.